The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you don't believe in the Almighty and you're listening to this, you need to answer that question. And He's also said, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted. So if you're a believer and you're not in that place, you might also want to examine your life. Fundamentally, the bottom line and the fundamental message that I want to share with you is that the Almighty Creator desires friends. Are you a friend? Are you working towards becoming a friend? Do you know that it's possible to be a friend? This program will, week by week, seek to explore different aspects of this issue. Tonight, following on from last week's program, we're going to talk about, is Yeshua, commonly called Jesus, Yah, the Almighty, really? Many Christians believe that Jesus is God. And I want to discuss that with you tonight, and I want to lead you to a place of understanding that, in fact, that's not true. There's a lot of confusion. Jews say that Yeshua, Jesus, was only a prophet and even dispute his existence. Muslims say that he was a special prophet and only a prophet. Some Christians are not sure. Many Christians believe that Jesus is God and was the Almighty in the flesh. So what is the truth? We will examine this in some detail in this program. To start off, who am I? My name is James Robertson. I have a doctorate in civil engineering. I've been a management consultant in the strategic application of business computer systems for close to 30 years. And I'm currently the chief operating officer of a small group of companies in the United Kingdom. I've had some dramatic experiences with the Almighty. I'm deeply committed to serving Him. I'm deeply seeking a deep personal relationship with Him. I deeply believe it is possible to sit on a high throne with Him for eternity, and that is my life's goal. And with that, my goal is to help other people to know that that is possible and to help them achieve the same. What is End Time Issue Ministries? End Time Issue Ministries is the organization through which I publish my writings. I put out a regular email newsletter with articles on a diversity of topics. I have a website, www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word. Where you will find about 700 web pages discussing a whole diversity of subjects, ranging from issues around sex, to who is Yeshua, to who is the Almighty, to the Almighty wants a relationship with you, and everything in between. What is this program? It's called The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, and it's intended to help you to realize that it's possible to have a deep personal relationship, and then over the weeks to show you how you can draw close to Him. So again, the website is www.endtimeissueministries.org with End Time Issue Ministries, one word. Number of questions from last week's program. First question, why are we taught these things? I guess that question was, why are people taught the wrong things that I was discussing in the last program about Yeshua, Jesus, the wrong names, the wrong Sabbaths? The answer to that is quite complex, but basically what it boils down to is that a little over 6,000 years ago, while the Almighty was engaged in the final stages of the creation process and was about to create human beings, some of the messengers or angels rebelled, and the leader of those angels, Hillel, who subsequently became Satan, challenged the Almighty to what is now known as the contest. In that contest, he said, put me on earth for 7,000 years with these human beings you're going to create, and at the end of 7,000 years, I will make sure that there's not one that believes you exist, let alone has a deep relationship with you. Satan and his followers were thrown to earth. Adam was created. Satan led Adam astray, getting him to eat something that was forbidden. So he rebelled against the Almighty. That made him a servant of Satan and gave Satan control on the earth. And so for the last 6,015 years, Satan has been the dominant power on earth, or the satanic realm, the satanic forces have been the dominant power on the earth. And they have been teaching all sorts of lies, while those who are close to the Almighty try and restore the truth. And so there's a constant battle between a small number of people serving the Almighty and a large number of people who are being led astray by the satanic realm. And so that has resulted in all these false teachings. And so part of that boils down to is that the majority opinion is pretty much always incorrect because it is influenced by the satanic realm. Next question, this is so confusing. It raises the question of, if the Creator controls things, why would he let people come up with all these names? The answer, as I've just explained, is that the Creator does not control things on earth. Human beings do, and Satan through the human beings, and so the Almighty has not been able to prevent this corruption. The third point, this man is totally confused in himself and so much want to be heard without really having the knowledge of what he's trying to talk about. Well, I'll leave that for you to gauge. I've got 25 years of walking with the Almighty. I think I've got a fair amount of knowledge, of including there about 7 years set apart just seeking the Almighty totally, written over 1,000 articles, about 5,000 pages of documents relating to the Almighty. So I like to think I know what I'm talking about. Numerous intense experiences. Please submit your questions during the program and I will answer them the following week. So tonight's program is titled, Is Yahushua Jesus Yah Really, or Is Jesus God? Just to recap what I shared in the last program, Yahushua, and I'm not going to continue to make the parallel, most people know him as Jesus, his correct name is Yahushua, is the most powerful created being in the universe. He is not the Almighty in the flesh, and I will demonstrate that in the rest of this program. He is a prophet, an overcomer, and he's a friend of the Almighty. And he does not want you worshiping him. It grieves him greatly. He wants you to worship the Almighty. He wants you to become a friend of the Almighty. And I can't stress that enough. The reason we were created was to be friends of the Almighty. I said last week that all authority on earth was given to the sons of Adam or the sons of man. Somebody challenged me on that in an email during the week. But let's just look at the basics. In Genesis 1:26, then the Almighty said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion." Adam was given dominion over the earth, the birds, the animals, the fish, everything, including the satanic realm. Satan tricked them into eating the forbidden fruit. They rebelled against the Almighty, gave authority to Satan, and therefore gave the dominion to Satan. Yahshua regained that authority by living without sin some 4,000 years later. In Matthew 28:18, we read, "And Yahshua came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." And so we see there that having just regained authority, Yahshua immediately delegated that to his human followers. And it's important to understand that in terms of the rules of engagement, the rules of the contest, neither Satan nor the Almighty has any authority on earth except through a human being. So if a human being obeys the Almighty, then the Almighty is able to do things on earth. If a human being obeys Satan, then Satan is able to do things on earth. Fact of the matter is that up to today, there have been about 100 billion people who've obeyed Satan, and they've become demons. They've died as ancestor spirits. We then see that Hebrews 10:12, he sat down at the right hand of the Almighty, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. And so, having delegated authority to his followers, Yeshua goes up to heaven, sits down at the right hand of the Almighty, and he's waiting for those who believe to make his enemies his footstool. And if you are not actively working to make the enemies of Yah and the enemies of Yeshua, Yeshua's footstool, you've missed the plot. You've really missed out on why we're here on earth. I want to digress slightly and make the point that Yahshua was a Hebrew. That's why I use the name Yahshua. He was not a Greek, as so many people believe. The Greek versions of the texts were the result of believers in the Greek lands, well, in Greece, translating the Hebrew scripts into Greek. Because of the hatred of the Jewish people, the Israelite Hebrew people, by the satanic forces, virtually all the Hebrew manuscripts were destroyed, and we were left with the Greek manuscripts. That doesn't mean that Yeshua was a Greek-speaking person. He was a Hebrew or Aramaic-speaking person. Hebrew was the original language of the Shemite people. It was basically the language that was spoken before the flood. It was the language that was spoken by Noah and his family. Out of the Hebrews came Abraham. Out of Abraham came Isaac and Jacob. Jacob became, out of Isaac came Jacob. And Jacob was renamed Israel. So the Israelite people came out of Jacob, and out of them came the tribe of Yehuda, Judah. And so the area of Israel where Yeshua was born was Yehuda, Judea. And because of that, they were called Yehudites, and that's been anglicized as Jew. So technically, Yeshua was a Jew. And there's a lot of wrong teaching about that. Just to sort of illustrate Matthew 1:1, this is the genealogy of Yeshua, the Anointed One, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. And so we see the whole genealogy unfold. But the key thing to realize is that Yeshua was a Hebrew, he was an Israelite, he was a Yehudite, and in English, that's a Jew. I've touched on this point in a slightly different way in the last message, but I want to restate it. Yeshua is a human Lord, but he is not the Lord. In the Old Testament, the Lord, in capital letters, is a completely inaccurate translation of Yahweh, or Yahweh, which means Yah, the eternally self-existing, In other words, the Almighty Creator. So when you read the Lord in the Old Testament, you're reading about the Almighty, the Creator. In the New Testament, Yahushua is referred to as Adonai in the Hebrew, translated correctly as Lord, and he was the Lord of those who followed him. But this is a completely different Lord to the Old Testament, the Lord in capital letters. So a mistaken reading of Lord in the Old and New Testaments leads to the false conclusion that Yeshua is the Almighty Creator. They are two distinctly separate beings. Another point that I've touched on before, and I just want to address slightly differently again, the word in English Christ, in Greek Christo, Christoon, Christos, is about Yah, the Almighty Creator. It's not about Yeshua. The phrase Christ Jesus means the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua. Jesus Christ means the Yeshua, the anointed of Yah. Christ on its own means the anointed one. Sometimes this refers to Yeshua, but it can also apply to every anointed believer. So you can point to me and say, he is an anointed one, he is a Christ. When you refer to Christ, you always refer to Yah, the Almighty Creator. Only occasionally do you refer to Yahushua. Important to recognize that despite the teachings of Christianity, Christ is not Yahushua's other name. It's not his surname. It's not a nickname. It's not a pseudonym. It's not an alternate name. Christ is not Yeshua's name. Christ does not mean Yeshua most of the time that it's used in the Bible. So Christianity is technically, if you translate the words correctly, anointedanity, which is a meaningless term. And so we find that as with a significant number of English words like Christ, Christianity is a meaningless term, and that leads to confusion, and that's why we have the situation we have today. Another point that I've made before, just in a slightly different way, Yeshua is a God, but he is not the God. The word translated Elohim, or the word translated God in most English Bibles is Elohim. Elohim literally means mighty one. When used in the context of the Creator, it means almighty or the almighty. God is a pagan or satanic name, and it should never be used in the context of the Almighty Creator. Yeshua is God in that he is a mighty one, but he is not the God, that is the almighty. And it's really important to get this distinction. Again, misuse of language, inaccurate translations. Yeshua is a mighty one. He is not the Almighty. I want to stress that Yeshua is a created being. So let's look at that in context. In Genesis 2:7, we read, and Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Almighty, or as it you would read it in most Bibles, is the Lord God, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, whether you take that absolutely literally or whether the Almighty created Adam in a slightly different way is really not the point. The fact of the matter is that if we go back far enough back, there were no human beings, and the human beings came into existence. So there is a really significant creative miracle involved in the creation of the first man and the first woman, Lilith being Adam's first wife, who went away after Satan. We read in Genesis 2:22, where the Almighty caused a sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took a rib from Adam's side. And the rib which Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Almighty, in other words, the Lord God, had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. So again, another dramatic creative miracle. And whether it was strictly speaking as it's depicted here, or whether there's a metaphor there or allegory or whatever, the fact of the matter is that there was not a woman, and then there was a woman. So again, a very significant creative miracle. We read then in Luke 1:35, and the messenger angel answered and said unto her, Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, the set-apart spirit, commonly called the Holy Ghost, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that speaks of the conception of Yeshua by Miriam, commonly translated Mary, with no human male participation. So Yeshua was created out of the ovum, the egg of the woman. Not really much of a miracle in comparison with the creation of Adam and the creation of Eve. So people get really confused about the fact that Yeshua was created in this miraculous way, and somehow think that the highest shall overshadow you means that the Almighty had sex with Mary or Miriam. Absolutely not the case. In the same way, well, it's just not the case. It's actually really silly. I'm kind of at a loss for words to actually explain how silly it is. The Almighty is capable of creative miracles, as we've seen. So why on earth could he not have a creative miracle to create Yeshua? So we have all three creative miracles, the first two much more dramatic than the third. Therefore, Yeshua is clearly human. Adam was human, Eve was human, Chava was human. So let's go back to the argument that Yeshua is Yah or Jesus is God. If Yeshua is Yah, how come? We read in Matthew 3:16, and Yeshua, when he was immersed or baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of the Almighty descending like a dove and lighting upon him. If Yeshua was Yah, how could his own Spirit come upon him? Clearly, Yeshua was a man. He came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Almighty came upon him. He became anointed. He became Christ, if you like. Up until that point, he was just plain Yeshua, the son of Yosef and Miriam. If we look at Matthew 14:23, and when he, Yeshua, had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So again, if Yeshua was Yah, how come he had to go apart to talk to himself? Clearly, Yeshua was a man. He went up into the mountain and he spoke to the Almighty. Matthew 27:46, Yeshua on the stake, not across the stake, about to die, about the ninth hour, Yeshua cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my beloved mighty one, why have you forsaken me? That's incorrectly translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? So again, I have to say to you, if Yeshua was Yah, how could he forsake himself? How could Yeshua leave himself, or how could Yah leave himself on the stake? It just doesn't make any sense at all. Clearly, Yeshua was a man filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, and because of the grief and the torment and the torture, the Almighty withdrew his spirit so that Yeshua could die a natural death, if I can call it that, without the aid of the Spirit of the Almighty. Because if the Spirit of the Almighty was as strong on Yeshua as it was, he couldn't actually die if the Spirit was still on him. So the Spirit had to leave him in order to allow him to die. Then if Yeshua was Yah, how come he cried out to himself as his mighty one or God? Surely to goodness, that's not going to happen. I have to say to you, if you consider these examples, and there are others that I could share with you, it's really pretty foolish to suggest that Yeshua is Yah or that Jesus is God. The reason people think that Jesus is God is because of all the translation errors that I've been talking about for the last few minutes. Important to notice that they don't even have the same name. The one being is called Yah, the other being is called Yeshua. And Yeshua's name tells us he's not Yah. Yeshua means Yah is salvation. Thus Yeshua's name points to Yah. There's nothing higher than the salvation of Yah. That is why the name Yeshua is the name above all names. I cannot stress enough, if you really are committed to serving the Almighty, if you really want to get close to Him, you have to get rid of all these wrong names and wrong thoughts. You can't become the friend of the Almighty if you believe He's actually, that Jesus is God. You can't be His friend if you believe a whole lot of these other things. You've got to clean up your act. If you go to my website, as I say, www.endtimeissueministries.org, you will find a huge amount of information there that will help you to resolve these points and to clean up your act. I've also in the process of compiling a set of 13 books with all of my teachings in. If you want one, please a copy, please email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. And I will email the documents to you. We hope in a few months to print them and publish them as hard copy documents. But at the moment, I can send them to you electronically, or most of them electronically. Coming back to Yeshua's name, there is nothing higher than the salvation of Yah. That is why the name Yeshua is the name above all names. Please realize that it's not because Yeshua is magical in some sense. And then, if Yeshua was Yah, if Jesus was God, how could the Almighty die? We live in Him, Acts 17:28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. If Yah were to die, the entire universe would collapse and there would be no being to resurrect Yeshua. Therefore, if Yeshua is Yah, then His death is a massive hoax, because in actual fact, Yah can't die. And Yah could not have died on the stake. And if He had died on the stake, then that would have been the end of everything. Please try and hear what I'm saying. It's really not sensible to believe that Yeshua is Yah. So it's written that He, Yeshua, is waiting for us to make His enemies His footstool. Referred to this earlier verse in Hebrews 10:13, and a number of verses which say this. And since that time, He waits for His enemies to be made His footstool. So we see that all authority on heaven and earth was given to Yeshua. Yeshua gave that authority to those who follow Him and operate in His name. So if you are a believer, you can cast out demons in the name of Yeshua. You can perform miracles in the name of Yeshua. You can heal people in the name of Yeshua. You can receive forgiveness in the name of Yeshua. All of that is just about you obtaining the benefits of serving Yah through the covenant of Yeshua. You can serve Yah without the covenant of Yeshua, but you will walk in a much lower level of power and authority, and you will be missing out on a lot, particularly when it comes to forgiveness for sin. The key thing to realize is that we are commanded to take dominion over the forces of darkness. And I say again the point that I made earlier, if you are not actively seeking to take dominion over the forces of darkness, you've missed the plot. If you want to become a friend of the Almighty, one of the things that He requires of you is that you take dominion over the forces of darkness. Now, that's not as complex or difficult as it seems. The first thing to do is to start living without sin. In order to do that, you need to discover what sin is. And that means that you need to get rid of all your wrong thinking. The Sabbath is Saturday, not Sunday. Christmas is a satanic pagan feast. The real feast at which Yeshua was born is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. I could go on and on. And there's lots of material on the website to help you to do that. So the first way you take dominion over the forces of darkness is simply to stop sinning. Clean up your life, confess all your sin, repent of all your sin. And there's a document on the website. If you hover your cursor over the top left-hand menu item, the home menu item, you'll see that there's a document called 7 Steps in Drawing Close to the Almighty. download that, apply what you find there, read it, apply it, pray the prayers, follow the rituals. And if you do that consistently for a few years, you will end up where you have gained dominion over the forces of darkness in your life and you are drawn close to the Almighty. Vital to understand that when Yeshua died, he ushered in a new covenant. So we read in Matthew 26, verse 26, while they were eating, Yeshua took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. If you do this yourself, take a piece of bread, break it and pray, Father, as we partake of this bread, we pray that we partake in all that it represents to you. You can add whatever you feel impressed to pray to that. Matthew 26, verse 27, it continues and he says, he, Yeshua, took the cup, which would be red wine or red grape juice, and gave it to them, those who followed him, saying, drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. If you're doing this, as I say, take a cup of red wine or red grape juice and pray, Father, as we partake of this cup, we pray that we partake in all that it represents to you and that we walk in the fullness of the covenant. We ask you to forgive us all that we've done that we should not have done and all that we have not done that we should have done, and that you bring to our remembrance all that we need to confess and repent of. These are powerful prayers. You should do this on a regular basis. You don't have to have other people with you. You don't have to have an officiating priest or pastor or shepherd or goodness knows what all else. You can do this yourself right now, right after this program. Take a bit of bread and a small glass of wine or grape juice, and you can take this covenant. You can get forgiveness for your sins. Forgiveness of sins is not quite as easy as that. You've got to deal with all the legacy stuff. And in the document I referred to just now, Seven Steps of Drawing Close to the Almighty, you will find guidance on how to systematically dredge up the sins of the past and repent of them. Also vital to understand that Yeshua had to be 100% human in order to do what he did. Otherwise, his entire life was a charade and a hoax. He would have had no authority if he were not 100% human. He could not have cast out demons, healed the sick, prophesied, been resurrected from the dead if he were not 100% human. He could not have been filled with the Spirit of the Almighty if he were not 100% human. The Spirit of the Almighty, the set-apart Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is there specifically in the context of believers. And he could not have died if he were not 100% human. I made the point a few minutes ago. If Yeshua was Yah, Jesus was God, he could not have died, because if he died, everything would have collapsed. And it would have been impossible to kill him. He's Yah, the eternally self-existing. He's always been there. People get confused by verses that say that Yeshua is the son of Yah, Jesus is the son of God. The word son in the Bible, particularly, throughout the Bible, is used not only in the context of a human male who has been come to life as a procreative consequence of a man and woman joining in sexual covenant. It's also used in the context of one who is like his father. So we read in 1 Timothy 1:2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from the Almighty our Father and Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, our Adonai. So here we see that Shaul calls Timothy my son, because he is walked in his full footsteps, he's learnt from Shaul. In Galatians 3:26, we read, "For ye are all the children of the Almighty by faith in the anointing that was upon Yeshua." So we're all children. Anyone who's a believer is a child of the Almighty. I call Yah Father regularly. I think of him as Father. Most believers think of him as Father, speak to him as Father. So clearly there's nothing particularly unusual about Yeshua being a son of the Almighty. If we read in Job chapter 2, verse 1, again, there was a day when the sons of the Almighty came to present themselves before Yah, the eternally self-existing. So there we have sons used in the context of beings created by the Almighty. So Yahshua is in no way exclusively a son of the Almighty. Something that's little known and really, really important. On the 5th of May 2003, Satan was sent to the pit for 1,000 years. If you read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, "And I saw a messenger coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss or the pit, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time." So on the 5th of May 2003, Satan was bound, brought before the court of heaven, judged, and cast into the pit, and he's in the pit right now. You say, well, what's going on? The world is an evil place. Well, there are 7 demonic masterminds who rule in Satan's place, and there are 100 billion demons, and there are many billions of messengers all serving Satan, and they are totally messing up the world. Key thing is, in order for Satan to be sent to the pit, all grace for the use of wrong names and wrong beliefs had to be withdrawn, and that started at the beginning of 2001, and by 5th of May 2003, all grace had been withdrawn, so that the person who prayed for Satan to be sent to the pit was without sin. I want to share with you a few powerful prayers that you may find useful. So that's the end of my message about Yeshua not being the Almighty. If you listen to that teaching, or we're in the process, hopefully, of transcribing these messages over the next few weeks, if you read the previous articles, hopefully you'll get the full picture. So I just want to close off with a few powerful prayers. Father, I come to you now, and I declare that I believe that you exist, and I choose to follow you. I ask you now in the name of Yeshua to accept me, to fill me, to lead me, and to guide me, that I may come to know you deeply, serve you faithfully, bring you joy, and become your friend. That's a prayer to pray if you have never believed, or if you're not sure if you've ever believed, pray that prayer. Further prayer, Father, I ask you to lead me into all truth by your Spirit. Father, I ask you to show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. Father, I thank you for this day, for your chesed, that's Father's love, his covenant love, and your chen, so that's your love, your loving kindness, your mercy, your grace, and your favor. Chen is favor. And I ask you to help me draw closer to you every day. So I use those Hebrew words instead of the English words, because the English words have got wrong connotations. Continuing with that prayer, I ask you to help me to know your will and to do it, to hear your voice and be instantly obedient, to be led by your Spirit every second of every day, to be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit, to be obedient to the leading of your Spirit. Some more prayers. Father, I ask you to bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory in relationship with you, in knowledge of your ways and your will and your kingdom, in the anointing of your Spirit, in humility, in emunah, trust and belief or faith, in harmony, in health and in finances. Each of these prayers that I'm sharing with you are very powerful ways of growing in your relationship with Father. And I encourage you to pray them on a regular basis. Most of the prayers that I'm sharing with you right now, I pray pretty much every day. I encourage you to do the same. The key thing in drawing close to Father is that it takes time, it takes commitment, it takes dedication, it takes energy. It's not easy to really get to know him. It's not easy to really get close to him. It's really not easy to get to be his friend. However, the rewards in the life to come are absolutely huge. If you haven't got a fix of what heaven looks like, you might want to read the visions in the book by Rick Joyner, The Final Quest, which is available on Amazon. I really encourage you to seek to really know Father. Take time out. Put away your secular pursuits. Frankly, as far as I'm concerned, getting a whole lot of time into watching sports is a waste of time. The outcome will be the same whether you watch or not, so what's the point of watching it? Take that time and spend it seeking Father. Get on your knees, pray, fast, read whatever you can find to read. Read the Bible. You can read my writings. There are numerous anointed books at different levels of anointing and accuracy. Fast to seek truth. Read the article, Seven Steps of Drawing Closer to the Almighty. A further prayer. Father, I ask you to help me wear your full armor, the belt of truth, the sure-footed shoes of the good news of peace, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of emunah, that's faith, trust, and belief, the mantle of humility. Help me to wield your commandments as a sharp two-edged sword dividing between truth and error. And help me to pray in the Spirit at all times without ceasing. This is derived from Ephesians 6:11-17. Each of those pieces of armor refers to an important spiritual discipline or principle which you need to take on board and apply. So you need to seek truth. You need to become conscious of the good news. You need to become aware of salvation and the fact that there is salvation, the fact that there is deliverance. You need to seek to live a righteous life. You need to deal with the sin in your life and live above sin. You need to walk in faith, emunah. You need to trust the Almighty. You need to come to a place where every aspect of your life is focused on doing His will and trusting Him to provide for you, to guide you, to lead you, and so on and so forth. Vital to do all this with humility, and humility is not something that you can just take on yourself. Humility is something that is a consequence, it's an outworking of fighting pride in your life, fighting self-consciousness, self-awareness, self-aggrandizement, every manifestation of pride. Get pride out of your life and you will become humble. You can pray, Father, I ask you to judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. You can pray, Father, I ask you to deal with me severely any time I let pride into my life. The commandments, the key thing with the commandments is to divide between truth and error. Praying in the Spirit at all times, you can teach your spirit to pray in tongues 24/7, 365. It takes time and effort. You need to keep asking Father to help you. So let's recap and look at the essence of Yeshua. Yeshua lived a life without sin to make it possible for us to do the same. He ascended to the highest throne that there is in heaven. By living without sin, he became the most powerful creative being, which is why many people who see him or meet him are confused into believing he is the creator when he's not. He was not the most powerful being when he came to earth. He became the most powerful being because he lived a life without sin. Really, really important, folks. All the power and the glory of being a believer in heaven comes as a result of obedience and a result of conquering sin and doing mighty works for the Almighty. Prayer in the name of Yeshua is powerful and effective if you know what you're doing. It's vital to understand who Yeshua is and who he is not in order to get to a deep personal relationship with the Almighty and become his friend. You can't become friend of the Almighty if you're calling Yeshua Jesus, calling the Almighty God, and saying Jesus is God. You've got to get rid of those sins. You've got to clean up your act. You cannot worship Jesus and be a friend of the Almighty. Four key documents on the website. If you go to the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, top left-hand corner, there's a menu item called the homepage. Hover your mouse over that, and you will see a list of documents. First one is the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. That discusses much of what's discussed in these programs. Lifts out the headlines. The second, seven components or seven steps in drawing close to the Almighty Creator. I've touched on that and strongly recommend that. It was written at a time when I was strongly anointed in 2014, and it's a really, really useful reference in terms of all the things that you can do to clean up your act and get close to the Almighty. The third document, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. How can you be friends with somebody if you don't understand his name and you don't know his name? This document traces all the occurrences of the name Yah throughout the Bible in terms of all the different names. So Yeshua is just one of many Hebrew names that relates to Yah. And if you think that Yah's name is actually Yahweh or Yahuwah, that's a lot better than believing he's the Lord or God, but actually Yahweh or Yahuwah means Yah, the eternally self-existing. His true name is Yah, Y-A-H, and if you're Afrikaans or German and you're inclined to say Yah for yes, please be aware that you're breaking the third commandment. Where will you spend eternity? What's required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Detailed discussion of that topic. As I say, on the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, behind the homepage tab, their books of teachings and the mailing list are available. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and click on the Yeshua tabs for much more information about Yeshua. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next week. Please email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org to join the mailing list. As I said earlier, I'm compiling a collection of my writings of 7 volumes, 13 books of about 600 pages each. Email me if you would like to obtain either one or the full set. I hope to have them in physical printed form by about February, March next year. The first volume contains what I regard as my most important writings, including those that I've just listed. And I hope to connect with you again next week when we will more deeply explore how to become a friend of the Creator. In closing, really, really encourage you no matter where you are in your relationship with Father right now, pull out all the stops, clean up your life, commit yourself to Him, pray the prayers you need to pray, go on the fasts you need to go on, and do everything you possibly can to draw close to Him. He desires friends. He desires you to be His friend. Now is the opportunity for you to change your life, change your direction, and start seeking friendship.
Father, I come to you, lifting up.